Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Vavah Metzia Daf Lamed Zayin. We are holding on Lamed Vavah Met Beis, three lines off the bottom. Om Rabbi Yosi, Keitzad Halo, he says, Schere Beparos Shel Chaveiro. According to Rabbi Yosi, one is not meant to be earning any money off his friend's distress. So basically, we have the story of a fellow who rented the rights to use a cow, then he loaned it to somebody else who now became responsible for the loss of the item. He will pay the renter, and the renter will just walk away, from the owner, free of charge. And Rabbi Yosi argues, he says, it can't be. You can't be making money off the other person's distress. Amar Vidamar Shmuel, that's the opinion that we adopt. Halacha Rabbi Yosi, that in fact the Shoyel will pay the owner, not the renter. Amali Rav Shmuel, so this is Rav Yehuda quoting Shmuel, okay? Amali Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, the Rav Yehuda. So now, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, who perhaps was Rav Yehuda's son, asked Rav Yehuda the following question. You recall that you once mentioned to us, Amrislan Mishmeidi Shmuel, you gave us another quote from Shmuel, that Choluk Chay Rav Yosi Aparishayna, that not only in this case with the renter and the borrower does Rabbi Yosi maintain that one is not meant to be profiting off the other person's loss, but in fact Rabbi Yosi disagrees with the entire Mishnah, with the whole halacha we learned back in the beginning of the parak. Remember that a Shem Mechinam opted to pay for the stolen item, and it turns out that we tracked down the thief, who will have to pay double. Who gets that extra payment? The Shem Mechinam. Right, so basically he's profiting off the other person's loss, right? And there as well, Rabbi Yosi says, you can't be making money off that incident. It's not your item. So if the Ganav gets caught, we obligate him to pay kefil to the owner, to the original owner, not to the Shem Rechinim. So Rabbi Yosi maintains, right, just like in this most recent case, the Seicher can't be profiting. Likewise, the Shem Echinim shouldn't be profiting. Even though he was such a nice fellow and so nice and cooperative, he offered to pay instead of swearing, right? So, once we know there's a Machlekes, we want to know Halacha Kemoisai, Ein Halacha Kemoisai. In case number two, with the Seicher and the Shoyel, you just quoted Shmuel, we pass along Rabbi Yosi. What about in that first case? Amarle, so he says, actually, you're right. In that first case as well, Rabbi Yosi disagrees, right? He holds, the Shem Rechinim is not meant to profit. And in fact, that's the opinion that we adopt. It's Marnami, we learned likewise, on Lazar. Rabbi Yosi disagreed with the first mission as well. Rabbi Yechon disagrees with Shmuel. In that first case, Rabbi Yosi agrees that the Shem Rechinam will earn the rights to access the kefil. You know why Shekvar Shilam? Because he paid for it. It was a bona fide business transaction. Right? That was the agreement between the owner and the Shem and the Shemer. You pay for it, then you get the kefil. So it's very different than our most recent case where the fellow sort of went behind the owner's back and loaned it, and then, he gets profit-based. No, it's a whole different story here. The owner was more than willing to offer this extra perk to the Shem Rechinim, who opted to pay instead of swearing. That's a legitimate business deal. Okay, so in this case, Rabbi Yosi would go along with the halacha, as stated in our Mishnah. Now, we have just one more point here. Because Rabbi Yochanan is the one who we just quoted, and he said the reason why it's different is because he paid. Shilaim in, apparently, payment is required to grant the Shemer access to that extra perk. Lo shilaim lo, but otherwise, if he hadn't yet paid, it wouldn't work. Even though he offered to pay. Hold it. Va'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We have a direct quote from Rabbi Yochanan himself that payment, actual payment, is not necessary. Even simply offering to pay, putting the owner at ease. Look, I'm about to pay, don't worry. That's enough to give him the access to kefal. Lo yishilim, when the Mishnah says paid, it doesn't mean shili imam is actually paid. Look, even Sh'amar, once he declared his willingness to pay, even Sh'amar, harini mishalim, that's enough. Afa b'shal lo yishilim, even though he didn't actually pay. So why now does Rabbi Yochanan say there it's different because he paid? Paid? Who says he paid? Elo says the Gemara, Ema, rather we'll just revise. All Rabbi Yochanan was pointing out is that it's very different. In that first case, Rabbi Yossi agrees that the Shomer deserves the rights to the Kefal Shekvar Omar and Mishal, because either he paid or at least he was about to pay. He offered to pay, that's enough. So bottom line, we have two cases. Mishnah number one was a Shomer Chinam who claimed the item was stolen. He opted to pay right away. Mishnah says he gets the Kefal if in fact we track down the Ganav. Mishnah number two, a fellow rented an animal and then lent it to somebody who lost the animal. The Seicher just swears to the owner and walks away free of charge, whereas the Sheil pays the Seicher for the animal. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. You can't profit off the other person's loss. And that's how we paskin. What about in the first Mishnah? According to Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi disagrees, and that's how we paskin. According to Rabbi Yochanan, all agree. It's a legitimate business deal. The Shemichinam gets the kefal. Says the Mishnah, Amar Lishnayim. Reuven approaches two friends. I don't know if they're friends, but he says, Gozaldil Echad Mikem money. You know what? One of you two fellows were my victim. Was my victim. I stole from one of you two. How much? A mana. But I'm not sure who I stole from. Ve'eni Yodei, it was dark at night. I'm not sure who it was. Ve'eni Yodei Ezim Mikem. I'm not sure who my victim was. So basically, I owe one of you a mana. I'm not sure who. Another example. Oy aviv shel echad mikem hifkid et limana. One of your fathers deposited by me a mana. I'm not sure who. The man was. Ve'ini yadei ezehu. I'm not sure if it was your father or yours. The only way to really address this situation is by paying out double. Noisin lezeh mana. Lezeh mana. He pays a mana to each of them. Well, you know why? Because he's trying to address his obligations. It's a self-initiated procedure. Shehoida mipiatzmai. It's self-initiated. Look, if you want to come clean, cover all the bases, right? Now, but if it's shnayim shefkidat l'echad, Reuben and Shimon both placed a deposit in Levi's care. Different amounts. Zeman of Zemasim. He placed 100, he placed 200. Comes payday, each one claims the 200. Zayimer Masayim Shali. Vizayimer. Zayim Shali Masayim. Zayim Shali Masayim. Okay, now he's stuck. Not sure who's who. What do you do? Noisin Lezemana. So he gives 100 to Reuben. Lezemana 100 to Shimon. Vashar and the rest, the other 100, put on the side until Yael Navi comes and clarifies and verifies the owner. Yehimunach Hachiev Eliyot. Amar B'yaisi. That's not really going to solve the problem. I'm Cain, if you're going to respond this way, Ma'ev said the rabbi, how are you going to be putting pressure on the crook? He has no reason to admit. If in any case he gets back his 100. Ella, rather, the most effective means of solving this situation is, don't give them back a penny, none of them. Ella, akoy, the full amount, wait till the owner comes, and perhaps between now and then, the crook will come around and say, look, you know what, I'm going to lose everything, so I may as well just take my 100 and go home. That's one example. Another similar case is v'chein shnei kelim. You have two kelim. Echad yafa mana, one worth 100, v'echad yafa elav zuz, one worth 1,000. Deposited by two different people. And Levi, the fellow who took the deposit, not sure, he doesn't remember. Was Reuven the one with the more expensive kli? Was Shimon, right? And comes time to return the item, each one claims the more expensive item. Zoymer Yavishali. Zoymer Yavishali. Both Reuven and Shimon claim the $1,000 item. So the same idea, noisin as a cotton le'echad mehem. So he takes the smaller one, gives it to Reuven. Umetoich ha'gadol, noisin d'mei cotton le'sheni. He takes the more expensive item and breaks it apart, takes a piece, and gives it to Shimon. And the rest, he put aside. V'ashar, hei munach, ad shiva liyo. So each one got 100, and the rest is in limbo. Once again, Rabbi Yossi responds, it's not a way to go. And Rabbi Yossi, came I've said to Ramai, Ela HaKoyl, rather, the entire shipment, the entire package, waits for Eliyahu Navi, Yehimunach Shev Eliyahu. Let's go back to the first case of the mission. I approached two people. I robbed one of yous, not sure who. I pay both. Alma misfeikum afkinim amoyna. Apparently, even when it's a case of uncertainty, I'm not sure, right? We extract money. We require you to pay. We don't say, we leave the money where it was, by its former owner. We don't say that. If you don't know, you pay. Really? We have a kasha from our Mishnah itself. Let's move on to the next part of the Mishnah. Right? Two people deposited with this fellow. He deposited 100. He deposited 200. Comes time to pick up the money. Each one claims the 200. What does he do? He doesn't have to pay 200 per person. No. All he does is 100 to each. V'ashar, and the rest is in limbo. Apparently, we don't obligate him to double pay. In contrast to the first case of the Mishnah, with the robber, well, he has to pay double. Why? Why the difference? Amar Leis, the more answers, Pikadna Gedel Karamis, how could you ask from a Pikadin, which is just a benign case, to a case where a person robbed? I mean, it's a totally different case. Gezel Davidi Sura. In the case of the robbery, he did an Isser. We can very well understand that Rabbanan penalized him. Kansur Rabbanan. Until you come clean, you have to just keep on paying. As opposed to a fellow, innocent fellow, a kind-hearted person who undertook to guard somebody else's money. Because it loved it, he didn't do anything wrong, so why should he pay more? Like a surabana. Okay, so at this point, it seems like a plausible answer, but the Gemara is going to ask on that now. So you say when it comes to Pikadin, he did not pay extra. But we have a stira. Verami Pikadna Pikadin. Verami Gezla Gezla. We're going to have a stira within the Aloha of Pikadin. And also within the halacha of a gezel. Number one, pikadin, not pikadin. We have a steer within pikadin. Within our Mishnah itself, we have Mishnah cites two cases of pikadin with varying results. Ketani Reisha, in the first case we have, a fellow approached two of his friends and he says, look, one of you guys' father deposited something with me, right? He didn't rob from him. He took a deposit. Hifkid etzli mana. I'm not sure who it was. What does the mission say? In order to come clean, you have to cover all bases. No, it's not lozemana. You have to pay both. V'ramini. And now comes a kash from the next part. This very mission. Shnayim shifkid v'chul. We don't have to pay more than just the minimal amount. So why this difference? I'm a rav. Look. Erasha. In the first case of the mission, where ultimately it was only one depositor. I'm not sure who he was, right? So I should be paying attention. I should take note of who it is. I shouldn't be walking around with uncertainties as to who gave me money, right? So I'm at fault for not paying attention. So of course, I'm fully responsible until I satisfy all my potential, claimants, right? Reisha, Nasa, Kimi, you know what it's comparable to? It's an irresponsible situation. It's like, Shefkidu loy b'shnei krichos. Imagine if two people, right, come at the same time and deposit money with me, but in separate envelopes, in a discreet fashion, so that each one doesn't know how much the other one put in and doesn't even know, to claim the other one's amount, right? So in this case, it's clear that they're not really trusting each other. Right, so I'm supposed to be paying attention as well to ensure that I remember who gave me what. Otherwise, it can run into all kinds of denials and and crookedness, right? The Havalei Lamed, he should be paying attention. So let's just use it as a metaphor, it's a mashal. So certainly in the ratio where it's just a question of one person, your father or your father gave me this money, I should be paying attention. There's no excuse for this type of ambiguity and lack of accountability, right? But safer as opposed to the next case of the mission, where both individuals came to him at once and gave him the money. Right? It was done in the open. They weren't trying to hide from each other. It's as though we're comparing it to, let's say, two people put their money in one bag and gave it to me. I don't have to be counting their money. Obviously, you guys are trusting each other. So, yeah, you gave it to me, you'll pick it up later. I don't have to be counting and paying attention and taking note and keeping records of who gave me what. And likewise, in this case of the Mishnah, they both came at the same time, in clear view of each other, exposing their personal details, so to speak, their personal information, in terms of how much they deposited, and leaving it open for the other person to claim that money. So here, evidently, you people trust each other. I don't have to be more conscientious than you, right? To lay heavily the middle. So he doesn't have to pay that special attention to detail. Oh, we're speaking that they both came to deposit their money at the same time. So now the fellow can say, look, clearly, you two are not really, makbid on each other. You're not suspecting each other of any wrongdoing. So therefore, I'm not paying attention either. No, I should pay more attention than you. Okay, so that resolves the apparent contradiction between pikad and pikad. Again, in the ratio, we have a case where he's not sure who deposited the money, your father or your father. He has to pay them both, because you should be paying attention. You have no excuse not to. Whereas in the sefer, they both came together. I'll leave it up to you people. You want to pick it up, you want to deposit, you want to pick it up later. I'm not keeping records of who's what and who's who. So in this case, I'm not chayev. More than just to give back this money. But now comes another contradiction. V'rami gezel gezel. Within gezel, we have a contradiction as well. Two cases with different results. Ketani yacha. In our Mishnah, we begin with a case where he approaches two individuals. Amar l'shnayim. Look, I victimized one of you. Gazalti l'echad mikem mana. I took 100 from one of you. I'm not sure who was. V'eini yodei ha'ez mikem. Right? Or avi she'echad mikem yifkid li mana. Right? Or one of your fathers did it. V'eini yodei ha'ez. I'm not sure who deposited the money by me. What does the mission say? Let's focus on the gezel part. He has to pay twice to address both potential victims. Noyis l'ezem mana. L'ezem mana. V'ramini here comes a kasha from a similar case. Uncertainty as to the identity of the victim, and Reb Tarfon there says one payment is sufficient. He stole from one of five people. He's not sure who it was. And each one claims to be the victim. He says he's the victim. The other one says, no, you stole from me. What do? I know I only stole once. Tarfon says, look, put the money on the table and walk away. No, what does that tell us? Alma misfeka leimafkinu amayna. Apparently, when it's a case of suffix, you don't obligate him to pay extra. V'raminu, we say you have a chazaka. The presumption is it's your money, right? I don't have to pay more than I have to pay. Ukim mamayna mechaskas mari. We leave the money by its owner. We don't obligate him to pay more than he has to. And in our Mishnah, we obligate him to pay double to address all possibilities. Why? Why this difference? Now, umimayde masis nachar b'tarfani. How do we know to say that our Mishnah, by us, and Baba Metzias, Reb Tarfon speaking, which would allow us to compare the halachas and pit one Mishnah against the other? The answer is, because in that Mishnah over there with the five people, we have a braisa which explains. Moide Reb Tarfon would agree. Ba'omer l'shnayim, when he approaches two people, the same as in our Mishnah, and he initiates the whole process. Gazalta lechem lechem mana, you know, I stole from one of you. Ba'ini day is I'm not sure it was. Even Reb Tarfon would agree in that case. He has to pay each one separately. Okay? So, it sounds eerily similar to our Mishnah. Apparently, the halacha in our Mishnah reflects Reb Tarfon's opinion as well. And Reb Tarfon himself, in the other case of the five people, says one payment is enough. And over here, many payments are required. Answer is like this. In the case of the five, they came to claim. Right? As the Mishnah says, each one claimed to be the victim. So there, look, we can't obligate him to pay more than once. Put it on the table and walk away. But in Bava Metziah, he's trying to be a good boy. He's trying to address his spiritual obligations. And unless he actually addresses it in full, he hasn't really addressed it properly. True, they can't. In a court of law, they can't obligate him to pay more than just, you know, base minimum. But if he's trying to be Yoytzi de Shamayim, the only way to do that is to really to cover all possibilities and pay them separately. They cannot be diktani, because look at our Mishnah. The wording of our Mishnah indicates, as such, that he's motivated by altruistic motives. Shehoidim piyatzmai. That explains the halacha, because he's coming on his own. Shema mino. Clearly, that's the reason. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to. Amar mar. Okay, let's go back and review the halacha of the gozel echad mi-chamisha, which is speaking where they're dragging him to the bezdin. They're initiating the process. Hosam the katavi lay. They're claiming from him. The question is, how is he responding? Vala matoyim. Rabbi the Amar Rav. So Rabbi the quotes Rav that he was just silent. Halo shaysik. He's pleading the fifth. He's not responding. Rav Masna Amar Rav. Rav Masna quotes Rav. No. Halo tzeveach. It must be that the guy is yelling and screaming. He's denying to each one of his claimants. No, it wasn't you. Now, Madam Allah Tzeveach, the opinion that says that we're speaking that he's vocally denying, but otherwise, if he would be remaining silent, that would be tantamount to an admission. And of course, he would have to pay each one separately. Madam Allah Shoisek, whereas the other opinion holds that it works even though he's silent. You know why? Shtika dahacha. This type of silence over here in this case does not indicate admission. Lav kaida who? You know why? It's very different than a typical shtika kaida. Typically, you're quiet. You're admitting. Here, no. Matzi amalei, because he can say, he can explain himself. He can interpret his silence like this. Haide shtika l'chad b'chad. You know why I was silent in response to all these people and all these claims? Because I wasn't sure. Damina dil mahayu. I knew I stole from somebody. I can't remember who it was. Therefore, I'm just, you know, keeping my mouth closed. It doesn't mean that I'm admitting to you. Okay, Amar. So what is the halacha of Rabbi Tarfon? Maniach gzela b'neim mistalek. Put the money down and walk away. So he's putting one amount for all five people. We assume all five will distribute it. We'll divide it, right? V'shakli l'kulu v'azli. So you mean they all take the money, split it, and walk away? In which case, the real victim will never really get fully compensated. He'll get a fifth of what he deserves. That's not right. V'amar Rav Arzavta, Amar Rav, we have a loch over here in Hashem HaSaveda, the name of Rav, called Savik Hinuach, right? We have an item which perhaps was placed there intentionally by the owner. It wasn't lost. It was placed there for, you know, time being. Leave it alone. Chatchil le'yitol. You shouldn't be touching it. Rashi says, doesn't have a simon. Doesn't have an identifying mark. So don't meddle with it. You're making it worse. V'im not le'yachsen. If you really picked it up, then you're responsible. You can't put it back. You can't give it back to anybody because it doesn't have a simon. You got to leave it till Yonavik. You're stuck. So bottom line, when there is an uncertainty as to who the owner of the item is, or in our case, who's the victim, who's the money going to, we can't just, you know, abandon it. We can't just let them just take it. You have to hold on to it until you verify the owner, until you confirm who the victim is. Amar Rav Safra, you're right, v'aniach. Rav Tarfon, all he meant was take the amount and leave it by the bezin. Put it in the trust of court. You can walk away. You're exonerated. You did your part. But of course, bezin will hold on to it until they confirm the owner. Amar Leah by the Rav. Let's go back to that story. Five people claim to have been his robbery victims. So actually, we already had Rabbi Tarfon Shita. You need not pay more than once. And we just explained, you put it into the bezin, and you move on. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva says, look, that's not a solution. You haven't really addressed your obligations. You have to pay each one separately. Amli Abayi L'Rabbi. Mi Amar Rabbi Kiva. Is that true that Rabbi Kiva said, Loizu HaDerech Moitzi Asim Dever? This is not a way to satisfy, to solve an avera, to counteract an avera. You stole, you have to go all out until you're 100% sure that you compensated your victim. Achi shalom gzela l'chalechal ve'echad, you have to repay every single person. Alma misfeka mafkidim amoyna. So clearly, even in a case of safek, we obligate payment. We don't say, we disregard the chazaka that you have, it's your money. No. We don't say, ukim mamoyna b'chazkas mari, we leave the money where it was. V'ramini, here comes a kasha. Apparently, according to Rabbi Akiva, we follow chazaka, chazaka of mamoyna. Naval abayis olav alimoy. So the house collapsed on him and his mother. Question is, who died first? So we have two families pitted against each other. The mother's family is claiming, look, the child died first, so his assets reverted to the mother, who was the Yerush, and now she died, and it goes to us. The kid's family, from his father's side, is claiming it's the opposite. Mother died first, her assets then were transferred to the kid, who then died, now with the Yerush. Nafal Abai is Olav Alimai, right? Yerusha ben Imrim. The kid's family are saying, look, Ha'em Eser Rishon, first the mother died. V'yerusha Ha'em Imrim, the mother's family are claiming, no, Ha'ben Mes Rishon, the child died first. What do we do with the assets? Elu v'elu ma'idim bot b'shamim b'sul agri she'ach leiku, we split it down the middle. V'ara Rekiva, Rekiva says no. Moidani b'zu, I agree in this case, shanachasim b'chaskasim, leave the money and the assets where they were. Apparently, we do adopt cheskas mamim. We leave the money, we leave the assets in possession of the one who was holding on to it till now. We can't just extract money without proof. So why do we obligate this fellow to pay all five robbery victims rather than just obligating one payment? What happened to Cheskas Mami? Omar Lisi responded, Hasam Shema Veshema, oh, that's a big difference. There, in the case of the Yerusha, no family is certain. Each one is presenting a theory. So you just leave things, you know, put. But gozel echad mechamisha. In that case, it's bari v'shema. He doesn't know, and they are claiming an absolute certain claim. Each fellow saying, look, you robbed me. So there's different. So there, the only way to address is to pay each one separately. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? But what about our Mishnah? Ibaba mitziva, masnisendach, our Mishnah, which speaks about a similar case. Amal shnaim, gozad lechem nekem manu. A fellow approached two people. I stole from one of you. So here it's the Shema v'Shemahu. There's nobody certain on each side. There's, on either side, there's no bury. No positive claim here. He doesn't know. They don't know. And what does the mission say? You have to pay over and over again. Uktani, noisn lezeman. Ulezeman. You have to pay Reuven in full, Shimon in full. So as the Gemara, remind them of the Rabbi Kivahi. Who's to say that our mission reflects the Rabbi Kivah's Shita? The answer is like this. The Tani Allah Dahi, because in that discussion with the five people over there, with the Machlekes, right, Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva, we have a Bryce, Moide Rabbi Tarfon, right? We quoted this Bryce before. Rabbi Tarfon would agree to Rabbi Kiva, Bo'emer Lashnaim Gazalta Lechem Echem Nikem Mana. A fellow approaches, by his own initiative, he approaches two people, I robbed one of you, Ben Yodei Ezem Nikem, not sure who, you gotta pay both. Now, who is Rabbi Tarfon conceding to when he says this? Laman Moide, love. The Rabbi Kiva Arplukte, apparently to Rabbi Kiva, who is his opponent, so to speak. In the case of Echad Mechamisha, one robbed from five, one of five, and they're coming, running through the grinder, and they're coming, right? So they are Rabbi Machlekes, pay once, pay five, but all agree if he is approaching the potential victim and he is offering, even Rabbi Tarfon agrees to Rabbi Kiva here, multiple payments are in place. So clearly, our halacha and our mishnah is Rabbi Kiva's shita as well. We might the shema v'shemahu. So one second, who says our mishnah is discussing a case where both sides, both litigants are uncertain? We might the shema v'shemahu. Well, very simple. Chada, first of all, lektani tovin oisai. In contrast to the case of the five people, where the mishnah said that they all came to claim here, now mishnah there's no mention of anybody claiming from him. V'oid, additionally. Hatani Rebchir, Bchir had a brisa which explained this Mishnah. Both parties, all three parties, are not sure. So clearly it's Shema v'Shema. So why is he paying over and over again? Oh, says the Gemara, one second. Remember, we already addressed our Mishnah. It's a unique case. He's trying to go the extra mile. He's trying to put it behind him. On all fronts. Ho Kimna, we have already explained He's trying to address all of his obligations, spiritual, financial. So here he has to pay over and over again to address all possibilities. Okay, so in summary, when it's a question of bo lotzi de shamayim, you have to pay in full. But otherwise, let's say he's being dragged to the bezin. So there, when there's a suffix, so if it's shema v'shema, then he doesn't have to pay, more than the minimal amount. You say chazaka, right? He has a chazaka. He is the holder of the money. We can't obligate him more. But when it's bari, there's a definitive, positive claim against him. Right? Each one's claiming that he's the victim. So there we have a machlokes. Rabbi Akiva says, pay each one separately. Rabbi Tarfa says, no, place the money in Bezdin's care and you're done. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbeinu Ravashi. Let's go back to another point that Rava mentioned earlier. When it comes to a pikadon. Now we discussed Gezel. Let's go back to pikadon. Umi Amar Rava, kol b'shtei krichos, havli l'meidak. Did Rava tell us that when you have two bundles, so to speak, when let's say you have two people, each one with his own deposit and doing it privately, discreetly, not in each other's presence, or is bundled up in a way that the other one doesn't see how much, right? So clearly, they're indicating that they're trying to be discreet and secure and safe in the way they're conducting their business. So in this case, the fellow receiving the deposit has to pay attention, has to keep note of who gave what. Is that true? Otherwise, it's deemed negligence. Rav himself tells us, some say it was Rav Papa, HaKol Moedim, all would agree in the following case. Regarding a shepherd, Mishnayim Shevkidu Etzel Raya. You have two animal owners depositing their animals with the shepherd. Now, it so happens that one deposited one goat, the other one two goats. Come a day later, each one's claiming both goats. He only has three. Doesn't have enough two per person. All agree in this case, the shepherd is not obligated. Shamaneach Roya Beinein Mistalik. He puts the three there and he walks away. Why? Rashi explains, it's like the case of the two bundles, meaning you clearly notice, right? You're meant to notice. Animals are out in the open, right? They're not hidden in bags or in envelopes. You see, he gave you one, he gave you two. What kind of business is this not remembering, not recalling, not keeping records? So why does he get away with just, Amalis, he says like this. You're right. There, it's a unique case. Hasam kishiv gidu be'edroi shalroi shalemi daitam. We're speaking that the owners just dropped off their animals with the shepherd's herd without him even knowing. He didn't notice. He wasn't there. He wasn't present when they delivered the animals. In this case, he's not responsible. V'chein shnei kelim echad yafe mana, echad yafe lev zuz, v'chu. So we have two cases now, Mishnah. This is the second part of the Mishnah. Reuven deposited $100. Shimon, $200. Comes time to pick up the deposit. Each one's claiming $200. So the Chacham say, look, give him $100. Give him $100. The other one, the rest, put aside. Rabbi Yossi says, no. You want to affect closure, just put the whole money aside until the crook comes around and at least picks up his amount, and then you know who's the, right? Now we have another similar case with items, a kli, right? He gave you a small kli, he gave you a big kli, you're not sure who gave what. Chacham say once again, you give him the small one, you give the other one a part of the big one, right? Equal to the value of the small one, and the rest you leave for Yonavi. And Rabbi says, no, that's not a way to go. Leave the whole thing for Yonavi. Why does the Mishnah have to go through both cases, which are pretty much one and the same idea? But Shricha, both have a chiddush. The I Ashmin Hakamaisa. If we only discuss the first case involving money, I would say by he. In that case, Kamer Rabbanan maintain that this is the way to go. We shouldn't look up Seder because you're not really harming or damaging anything. 100 for you, 100 for you, and the rest goes to the Yonavi. Aval Baha. But in the case of the Kli, where you have to break apart the Kli and cause damage, the Ikup Seder, the Gadol, you're harming the big Kli. Amos, so perhaps over here, Moidu, Moidu, Rabbi Yasi, they'll beat Rabbi Yasi, don't tamper, leave it alone. No, that's what the Mishnah says. You should know. Rabbanim maintain their opinion even by the Kelim. On the other hand, if we only discuss the case of the Kelim, I would say, perhaps Rabbi Yossi only maintains his opinion by the kelim, so we don't break the kli. But in terms of money, no problem. Ema moidul rabbon. Perhaps Rabbi Yossi would get rabbonon, give him 100, give him 100, and the rest fully on up. Sricha. That's why the Mishnah troubles itself and goes through both cases. No, whether it's money or kelim, we have the same achlekes. Asks the Gemara, why would I even think that Rabbi Yossi would agree it was just money, that you can follow the rabbonon's formula, give him 100, give him 100, and the rest leave on the side? That wouldn't really conform to Rabbi Yossi's concern. The time of the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi was concerned about trying to pressure the crook. Mishum hefsed haramayu. So whether it's kelim, whether it's a question of money, it doesn't matter. The point is, put the money aside until further notice. So how could you say that the reason why the Mishnah mentioned the case of the money is to highlight Rabbi Yossi's shita? I would think he agrees with Rabbi. Why would he agree with Rabbanan? He's trying to address a whole different thing. He's trying to accomplish an entirely different thing here. In which case, whether it's money or kelim, it's all one and the same. Ella, you're right. Tarvayil Rabbanan Istrich. The point of the Mishnah mentioning both cases is to highlight the Rabbanan shita. V'loizu Afsik Toni. Sometimes the Mishnah does that. It's sort of a build-up. You're right. If it would speak about kelim that are meant to be broken up, you wouldn't have to speak about money being distributed. It's pretty obvious. The Mishnah built itself up. First, money is meant to be dealt with this way. Not only money, which is a more, you know, a simple type of case, which doesn't involve breaking and damaging, and even kelim, which involves breaking a kli, still the Rabbanan maintain this is the proper way to go. Give him so much, give him so much, and the rest pending further notice. Okay, let's go back. We have Rabbi Yossi, who says, don't make money off the other person's distress. Question is whether, in the case of Yishai Mechinim, who paid and wants the kefil, does Rabbi Yossi agree or not agree? That was a machlekes on that. We discussed a fellow who was not sure who he owes money to, so if he's coming, lasi de shemayim, pay it off. Otherwise, we have a machlekes, how to deal with it. And we went back and explained the Mishnah, why we needed two cases. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.